I'm Susie Larson. Thanks for listening to this podcast from Susie Larson Live.
It's only just a matter of
welcome to Susie Larson Live. Always honored to get to spend this time with you. In fact, I look forward to bringing you conversations every single day that hopefully inspire you in your faith walk, that deepen your understanding of God's Word, and that heightens your awareness of His very real presence in your life. So looking forward to today's show. You know, millions of folks battle insomnia, and my guest today writes this: we need to learn how to pick our battles by letting God fight for us so that we are not stressed out, worrisome, workaholic, insomniacs. Where there's no sleep, there are no dreams. Where there is fear, there's no faith. Where there is stress, there's no peace. It is time to give it to God and go to bed. Naturopathic doctor and my friend Laura Harris-Smith joins me today to talk about her new book, Give It to God and Go to Bed: Stress Less, Sleep Better, Dream More. Who does not need that? Honestly, wish we had 100 copies to give away. This is such a practical book. It's not a workbook. It's a book, but it feels to me like a workbook because there's so many practical pieces of advice. We've got a handful of copies to give away. You can text the word book to 877-933-2484, 877-933-2484. And you know I love it when you engage. So if you've got questions about insomnia, about quality of sleep, any of those kinds of things, text me now, 877-933-2484. Let me tell you about her. We'll get her on the show. Laura Harris-Smith is a naturopathic doctor with 3 degrees in original medicine. But before all that, she was just a farmer's daughter with a love for colorful food and a pastor's granddaughter with a heart to see others prosper spiritually. She and her husband, Chris, are the founding co-pastors of Eastgate Creative Christian Fellowship in Nashville, Tennessee, where they specialize in helping people get healthy body, mind, and spirit. With over 50 years in TV, and she's only in her 50s, so she had to have started when she was really little. She's the host of The Three, and she's the author of more than 25 books and ebooks. Married 37 years, Laura and Chris have 6 adult children plus 12 grandchildren and counting. Dear Laura, my friend, welcome back to the show.
Oh, Susie, it is so good to be with you.
Looking forward to this conversation so very much. But you know this, we love to start every day talking scripture. And I'm just wondering, just in your time with the Lord, what's he been talking about these days?
Yeah. Well, a couple of different things. But the scripture that he's giving me is from Hebrews 4:10. Anyone who enters God's rest also rests from their works, just as God did from his. And so, you know, there's people in our lives who we're praying for, people that we feel responsible for. We think if we just do this one thing, maybe they'll, you know, come back to the Lord. Maybe if we say this thing right, we just feel responsible. And I do, even as a minister, as a mom, as a friend. But ultimately, it is the Holy Spirit's job to do these things in other people. And I just tell the Lord all the time, Susie, I say, Lord, go defend yourself. Go defend yourself. And it helps me to release these people to him. Not that I'm not going to ask him to make me available and my mouth, you know, use it for his glory. But in the end, I have to trust that the Holy Spirit is better at communicating to them what they need to hear than I am. And in that sense, I can enter into his rest and cease from my works there. So Hebrews 4:10 is just so practical for me. Obviously, I'm passionate about sleep and rest as well, but I think it's also a state of living for you to live at rest.
Wow. You know, I've never heard anybody talk about that verse from the standpoint of releasing the people that stress you out. But the thing is, we strive in so many ways. And how many actually lose sleep over worries about people? My pastor's wife, who's a dear friend, just said last night, she just said, when I started praying and really, she's like, of course, we all know this theologically, outcomes are in God's hands. But she said, when I really started to believe that, that's really when I started to rest and see outcomes happen, answers to my prayers that I've been striving with for so long. I just think that's a powerful thing. You know, they're not basic truths if we're not applying them. They're critical truths. And this is one. Wow, I love that, Laura. Thank you so much. Wow. Wow, wow. All righty. We have so many. I have so many questions, but I guess I want to ask you this before we dig into your book, Give It to God and Go to Bed. What have the last 22 months been like for you? What have you sensed God is saying to the church in that time?
22 months specifically, huh?
Well, you know, the last 2 years, you know, we're 20 and 21. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah. Oh. All right. Well, I will just tell you this. As a person who, I'm a real homebody. I love to go out. I love to do and travel and all of that. But when the world shut down, me as a writer, you know, I welcomed the opportunity to kind of just be more with him and focus more on my writing. I was writing, Give It to God and Go to Bed. So in that sense, I didn't notice a lot of change. What happened was, you know, we pastor a church in Nashville, Eastgate, and we started noticing about 3 months in that, you know, there were some people because they were disconnecting. We never closed our doors, but there were some people who, because of fear, they would not come. And we started hearing from these people. Their relationships were suffering. They were depressed. And so I more than ever am convinced that the number one ploy of the enemy with this last, you know, with the pandemic and the last couple of years was actually, he wasn't after our health. He was after our connection. He's after the body of Christ. He's after our influence and our impact on culture. He wants to isolate us. If he can divide us, he can conquer us. And so one of the things I'm most proud of in the last year and a half is that we've kept our church, you know, afloat and going and thriving, never shutting our doors and doing that safely, but doing it. Because people need each other. They need connection. And they're waking up to that all over the world.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, just for the record, you and Chris have been people for years who've talked about preventative health by, you know, working on your immunities, living healthy, not waiting for a crisis to hit. And that's a whole other conversation, but that's super important to know. All righty. So you got to give us your backstory and your relationship with sleep. My producer and I both struggle with sleep. Mine is related to co-infection with Lyme that is just relentless, and hers is other stuff. But, we were talking about how you made the distinction in the book between people who cannot and people who will not. And I could not believe it, even though I know that you're high capacity, I could not believe when I read in your book that you're praying there's no sleep in heaven because that, oh my word, girl. But anyway, give us your backstory. I love it.
Yeah, I didn't have a sleep problem. I had a sleep defiance. And, I just felt like, and I guess in many ways still feel like, sleep is a colossal waste of time. I really wish that we could just all work all the time and do the things that we love and get people, you know, introduce them to the Lord and get them to fall in love with him. And I'd rather spend my time doing that than sleeping in the dark. But I mean, I was kind of wearing this like a badge. And so for decades of my life, my fifth gear life with this big family, and, you know, I was homeschooling those six kids for 24 years on top of everything else. And I would get maybe 4 hours sleep a night, maybe five, and I was fine. I could totally do it. My dad did it. My mom did it. I would say Albert Einstein did it. I can do it, you know. And it just, it really, I learned the hard way. If you don't go to sleep, your organs will go to sleep for you. And what happened was I had to learn some hard lessons about what that does to the adrenaline and the cortisol in your body. Now, those are your energy hormones. That's what allows you to, you know, put two people on your back and run out of a burning building. It's so necessary for our life and our health and the sustenance of our organs. And, you know, adrenal failure is when your organs entirely shut down. You run out of those key hormones. Well, stage 4 adrenal burnout is just that. All your organs, you know, shut off. You die. I didn't even know I had it until I was in stage 3. And it was just an quote-unquote accidental test that my doctor did. I had all my symptoms were, you know, crazy. My blood work was wonky, and we couldn't figure out what was happening to my body. And they didn't ever think to ask me, well, how are you sleeping, Laura? I personally think all the sleep doctors could put all the other doctors out of business if they would just help us to get our sleep right. We could get our health right. So basically, I was told make changes or die. If I survived, it would take 18 to 24 months to turn it around. And, you know, I have had miracles in the past, Susie. I mean, dramatic, instant miracles in my body, big and small. And this time, God required me to cooperate with him. And so I did. I went on total bed rest for 3 months, changed everything that I ate. It even changed what I started to write about. Every meal became a final exam, so to speak, and I was just trying to live, and I did. And you know, I was in the middle of writing a book contract with Baker Chosen, and it even changed what I wrote about, because when I came out of that, and by the way, God did in 6 months what they said it would, you know, take 24 to do. I got a clean bill of health, and I feel 20. I have, for the last 10 years, felt younger than I ever had, cutting out wheat and sugar, originally so that I could live. It was drastic. It was extreme, but I was like, this is so hard on my body to process. I've got to sleep better. I've got to eat better. But then I felt so good that when I was all well, I thought, why would I go back to Egypt? Well, I feel decades younger than I am. Well, I'm just going to keep going. And so I have. And I have never regretted it, you know. And so I just feel like I'm passionate about sleep because the lack of it almost cost me my life. So now wow. I get 8 hours sleep every night. And if I wake up, have a little deal with myself. If I wake up the next morning and I haven't gotten a full eight, I'll lay there just until, you know, I feel like I'm able to get up or pray, do whatever I have to do, think through my day. But I try to stay flat. And it has made a world of difference. And so that's why I'm passionate about it.
Wow, so good. Thank you so much for sharing that, Laura. We're going to pause here. When we come back, we got to do this. Never in my years of radio, I've been in radio for almost, I don't know, 15, 16 years, never have I drawn content from the acknowledgement section of a book until now. Mm. You write, when people ask you how you accomplished so much in a day and in your life, you shared four secrets. We've got to walk through those in your book. I loved them. They're so good. I wrote them down, and Kevin and I are going to talk them through. Give it to God and go to bed. Stress less, sleep better, dream more. We got a handful of copies to give away. Text the word book to 877-933-2484. And somebody asked the question, sometimes my brain races when I try to sleep. How do I turn off my brain? We'll address that one, too, and a little bit later in the program. We'll be back in a minute. Trust him, friend. You can trust him. Thanks for tuning in to Susie Larson Live, talking to my friend, Dr. Laura Harris-Smith. Oh, wow. Her book is titled Give It to God and Go to Bed. And if you don't mind, Laura, I mean, again, we'll just have to have you back because I know there's so much more in the book than we can even tackle in an hour. But this, it felt like a word from the Lord for somebody. It was for me. Mm-hmm. And literally, in all my years of radio, I've not had content in the acknowledgement section jump out like this did. But when people ask you, you know, how do you accomplish so much in a day? And God has really wired you for high capacity. But you shared four secrets. One, honor the Sabbath with a full day of rest each week, and God will multiply your speed, favor, and proficiency during those other days.
True.
So say a quick word about that.
Mm. Well, I love the Sabbath. I find it funny that God has to convince us to, you know, take a break, but he did it. And yeah, I know it makes no sense. But when someone says to me, I'm just so busy and I can't whatever, I said, listen, take all 7 days of your work week. Okay. Chop one day off, devote it to God and to rest and your family, and you'll get twice as much done. I don't have any explanation for it for you, but I will just say that, you know, scripture says that it is a sign to unbelievers that we keep the Sabbath. And so I notice when I turn invitations down or tell people I can't do certain things on Sundays, it's not religious rhetoric. I'm actually telling them, no, I pull aside today to rest because I'm going to be going in fifth gear Monday through Saturday. And I can feel it if I have not had that rest. So it's a habit of ours and our family.
What does it look like for you, though, Laura? I mean, on a practical love, especially you guys run a church. So what does...
Yeah, true. Yeah. So what we do is we get up, go to church, and, you know, I feel like if there's something that is life-giving, then it's not draining to me, then I'm at rest doing it. So even if I have to teach, I feel like I'm at rest. Now, what happens immediately after that is I come home and we unplug. we try not to answer phones or do anything like that, and we just rest. We literally, you would think that we're gluttons. We just, you know, we kick our feet up, we eat, we watch a movie together as a family. And here's what's interesting now. All six of my kids are adults. Four of them are married. So, you know, we're in that empty nest season. And now that I see those same kids who in the past were saying, you know, gosh, I really wish I could go to this birthday party, or gosh, I wish I could. No, we really made it a priority that we didn't just go do everyday normal stuff on Sunday. Now, we would watch a movie together, but as long as we were together as a family and it brought us life and rest, we did it. Well, now those same kids are running their own households, and they observe the Sabbath. They absolutely, they can feel it if they don't. And I'm so thankful we did it.
Wow, that's so good. Put only good things in your mouth so God can renew your youth like the eagles, mm-hmm. and you feel decades younger than you actually are.
Number
and
two.
You touched on it, but mm-hmm. just say a little bit about that.
Yeah. Well, I just think that's key in Psalm 103. You know, he absolutely just satisfies our mouths with good things so that he renews our youth like the eagle. So he wants to. So many times we don't cooperate with that. So I feel like if we will eat the right things and drink the right things and abstain from the wrong stuff, then, you know, he has less crisis intervention prayers to answer. Mm. And so I do believe just by that sheer fact, we are going to feel younger, going to be able to fight off the battles that we know are going to come because we live in human shells, you know, in a fallen world. But we can be strong in fighting that with good nutrition.
Good. Pray for a double portion so you experience an mm-hmm. extra dose of God's Holy Spirit and live a life of double mm-hmm. blessing and adventure. I've not actually ever thought of asking God for a double portion. I love that. Say more.
Oh my gosh. Okay. We do need a whole story. I could, I could write a whole book on this. Mm-hmm. I actually had an encounter in a dream. So I know it was, you know, it wasn't him. It wasn't the prophet Elisha, but it was the Lord allowing me to learn something. But I had an encounter with him and he asked me to take a vow to pray for something. I said that I would. When I woke up the next day, I was like, Lord, why was that not you? Why didn't I get a visitation from Jesus? You know, why Elisha? And he said to me, if you will keep this vow, I will pour a double portion out on your life. And, I mean, that is exactly what I feel like he has done. And, you know, it's only by his grace I was able to keep the vow to pray. But I'm saying that I have really felt and noticed a double productivity. You know, I'm sure people think I'm just exhausted and a workaholic, but I'm actually not now. And amazingly, Susie, my productivity did not diminish when I doubled the amount of time I was sleeping. It went from 4 hours to 8 hours, and I'm still getting as much done and more. I mean, I literally look at it and I just think, Lord, only you can do that. When we honor your right. precepts, only he can accomplish that.
That is just so inspiring. I love that. So honor the Sabbath, put good things in your mouth, only good things, pray for a double portion, and finally, choose wisely a prayer team of mature people who have your best interests at heart. I think some would think a prayer team only for people in ministry, but don't you think we all need a prayer team?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And you'll find that there are plenty of people in your life who will do that for you. If not, then you probably are not at a good Bible-believing church and a community of believers like you should be. If you will invest in the lives of others, you will find them readily available to invest in you with prayer.
Very good. Okay, so there's so many reasons folks are not sleeping, and there's, you know, mm-hmm. so many sleeping disorders. But, Laura, if you were to take kind of a 30,000-foot view, what are the commonalities found in most insomniacs?
Yeah, really, I think it's universal. I think there are three seeds, and they are stress, work, and worry. So you know, you're maxed out, you fall into bed tired, but you can't go to sleep because your mind is racing about work, something you should have said differently during that business meeting, or something, you know, surely you can try harder and say it better the next day and convince this spouse or this loved one or neighbor or whatever it is. We lay awake at night and think about how we're going to change the world tomorrow, and next, you know, we're worrying. And so those are the three thieves that I talk about in the book, and specifically how to subdue them.
Okay. And you even, let's take them a little at a time, stress, work, and worry. Stress, you said, also impacts us spiritually. And again, that's one of those things that you might go, well, yeah, of course it does, but we don't stop to think. If we are taking on more than God is asking us to, or maybe not managing it with proper mm-hmm. guardrails and boundaries, it does mm-hmm. spill over, you know, physiologically, emotionally, relationally, spiritually. Say a word about that.
Yeah. Well, I remember one time I was racing off to church, and I was in a meeting with something I was going to have to do, and I was late, running late, and I couldn't find my keys. And so finally, I find the keys, I get in the car, I'm running late, and I'm speeding, okay? And the Lord says to me, you know, you couldn't find your keys. And, you know, he said, you're running late because you couldn't find your keys. You couldn't find your keys because you're too busy. You're too busy because you don't know how much I love you. Mm. And I said, wait, I couldn't find my keys because I don't know you love me? He said, yes. And so it really is a matter of whenever the stress comes, backtrack, see why this thing is making you stressed out, if it's to be in your life or not. And then, you know, just asking him to really, that fear, it's all rooted in fear, so much of it. And fear and faith can't share the stage of your life. Mm-hmm. And what I really try to do in the book is the whole book takes place in your bedroom. So, for example, you know, the treasures inside your bedroom. I talk about just how to make your bedroom itself a peaceful environment. But then I talk about the junk under your bed. That would be fear, unforgiveness, those type things. Dealing with those issues, and I help you to do that in the book, to where when you get in bed at night, you're not laying on top of all this junk that's constantly talking to you. And then there's the monsters in your closet. I talk about the demonic forces that are monitoring your life. And it's interesting, Susie, because out of every interview, the book's only a month old, and some days I have multiple interviews, okay? By far, chapter 3 is what people are asking.
You're bleeping out. I think you might be getting a call. We're going to pause here, but I think what I heard you say, Laura, is that by far you've got questions around chapter 3. We'll talk more about that in a moment. I have lots more questions. We've got someone text coming in as well, talking to Dr. Laura Harris-Smith about her book, Give It to God and Go to Bed, Stress Less, Sleep Better, Dream More. And one of the things that she says is one of the first consequences of sleep deprivation is hormonal failure. We're going to talk about why that's a thing and what may be some symptoms of that. We'll be back with Laura Harris-Smith in a minute. Thanks so much for tuning into Susie Larson Live. Maybe you're someone, you put your head on the pillow. My husband is like this. Literally, before his head hits the pillow, he's snoring. Same with our pit bull. They're like snoring before their head hits the pillow. But most of us, that's not the case. So we're talking about sleep today with Dr. Laura Harris-Smith. Her book is Give It to God and Go to Bed. Stress less, sleep better, dream more. You can text the word book if you want in on the drawing. And very helpful, very exhaustive research and practical help. 877-933-2484. And you were saying the three distractions down the hall, kind of using the bedroom analogy, you've got monsters under the bed and treasures in the or I think weapons under your pillow, stuff like that. But this one is the distractions down the hall are stress, work, and worry. And a number of people today, Laura, have asked about racing thoughts. This dear listener says, my wife suffers from this where she will wake up at 2 in the morning and have to go out to the couch in the great room and sleep then. Her brain never shuts down, always thinking about teaching first grade. And someone else texted in kind of a similar question, just like, how do I shut the thoughts down at night?
Yeah, well, it's three things. I always say that we need to engage all three parts of ourselves. So it's not three things. It's the three parts of ourselves. You have to engage this, engage your spirit, your mind, and your body. So, for example, if she's just going out there and she's just laying down in a different environment, she's trying to get her mind off of one thing, and so she changes, you know, that's just really treating one third of yourself. What if you just pray? That's just treating one third of yourself. What if you take a sleep aid? Well, that's doing the same. So if you're going to be whole and if you're going to tackle this or any other problem, you have to approach it body, mind, and spirit. And so I just try to get people to be convinced of that. They're made in the image of a triune God. You see the Trinity hard at work in the Garden of Eden. Let us make man in our image. And so that means you are made up of three parts. So if you are laying in bed at night and you can't sleep, you've got to get a plan in all three realms of yourself. And so I go over with you in the book exactly how to, first of all, just on all three of those levels, deal with that situation. If you with the body, I've got what's called Laura's ABCs for Z's, and I talk to you about the steps that you take on a nightly basis to send the signals to your body with this routine that you are going to, you know, you're winding down. It's time to turn everything off and it's time to rest. And then same thing for your mind. You're instead of just trying to listen to a calm app or, you know, some kind of music, there's different things that you can do. Some people roll over, they scroll through their phone, they get on their tablet. But that's just perpetuating the problem by busying your mind, because that glowing stimulant light is hitting the optic nerve. It's telling the pineal gland to shut down production of melatonin, and then you're not drowsy. So you've got to deal with it. That's where I get into the junk under your bed and dealing with the things that are racing in your mind, the fears about that classroom the next day, or the unmet work or expectations, or whatever it is that you're dealing with. I talk to you about how to clear the junk out from under your bed. And then, you know, engaging your spirit. I actually have in the book, no matter what pace at which you read it, you know, it's 10 chapters, but I suggest that people go through my 10 Days for a Lifetime of Deeper Sleep and Dreams program, which is, I just put video links in the book of videos I have created for people, where I basically tuck you in, you know, and take you through all of these steps, help you to begin your journey to the best night's sleep possible, getting to sleep, staying to sleep. And then, you know, you're a captive audience for God. You've prepared yourself body, mind, and spirit for that sacred time of night. And you know, I believe that he speaks to us during that time of the night. And that is why the enemy is at war with you for your sleep.
Boy, so many questions, so many things I want to ask you about. But can you give us just a synopsis of the ABCs of Z's, you know, just some practical help? Lots of people texting in looking for some real practical help.
Sure. The thing with the ABCs for Z's is that you want to make sure that whatever you're doing, like for example, she was like a secular, she was a secular anchor, okay? And so she was asking me the very question that you're asking me. So I'm going to tell you some of them, but I want to urge your listeners to remember that it's not just dealing with this with your body, or else you're just treating one third of yourself. But what I say is first of all, abstaining from all caffeine, nicotine, and alcohol. These things can not only keep you awake, but they can actually, some people say, oh, well, I need a nightcap to go to sleep. Well, then when that wears off, you actually wake up. And withdrawal symptoms, they, you know, make you wake up. So abstaining from the things that you know you need to abstain from, I really challenge people to let this be the year that they do that. B is bedtime math. You know, you take whatever time you have to be up in the morning, you subtract 8.5 hours from that to determine your bedroom, your bedtime, and that just allows you for 8 hours of actual sleep time, you know, preceded by 15 minutes to wind down and do the rest of these ABCs for Z's, and then 15 minutes to actually fall asleep. So, you know, the whole point is for you to each one of these build upon the other to help create the perfect opportunity for rest for you. C is create a room atmosphere and temperature. And I actually spend a lot of time in chapter two on that subject. Creating a beautiful refuge in your room, it doesn't cost any money. I give all kinds of free tips in there, even on decor, and talking about how you need to declutter your bedroom. It needs to be a place where, you know, everything is pleasing to you in it, at least decluttered and clean. Don't have piles of mail and bills up on the, you know, in eye shot of your bed. Don't have framed pictures of people who stress you out, those type things. So that's just ABC right there. And, you know, if you do these things and you do them regularly, and then you're sending the signal to your body that it's time to shut down. Now, again, we've not engaged the mind or the spirit yet, but yes, with your body, those are things that you can do each night.
Okay. So this dear listener says, great program. Thank you so much. I can't wait to hear more about the hormones. And Dr. Laura, you're ministering to my heart today. Thank you for your obedience to our Abba. So appreciate that. So Laura, say a word, if you would, about just that hormonal kind of upheaval is one of the first body responses to sleep deprivation.
Mm-hmm. It is. And interestingly enough, if you are sleep deprived, whether by choice or not, the first thing that will go wonky are your hormones. And I had a doctor telling me this. Here I was writing, remember my dreams and visions book, Seeing the Voice of God. I was contracted to write that for Baker. I still had not had the diagnosis yet of the adrenal issues. And God was using work to make me study sleep because it was work that was keeping me from sleeping. So I'm sitting here interviewing a sleep doctor for the book, and he says to me, you know, well, the number one sign that you're sleep deprived is your hormones will start going crazy. And mine had, and I'm feverishly taking notes and still not making the connection. And so Jehovah's sneaky, you know, he just snuck up on me and forced me to realize that that was the first thing, the first bit of damage I was doing to my body. So if you have hormonal issues, it soon is, and it's caused by sleep deprivation, you're soon going to find it's perpetuating the issue because hormonal issues will then keep you awake at night. So master that, do what you can, do your part for sleep. And then if you have to, and I'm a huge proponent for this, as a woman who I went through an early menopause after 6 kids, I went through a menopause in my early 40s, and I felt like I was just robbed of everything that made me feel, you know, like a lady. And so I had to make a choice. I had actually fallen down, broken a rib, chipped a tooth, really strange injury for me because I'm in shape and I'm healthy and but I realized right then that I needed to do something hormonally for the sake of my bones and my heart. So what I chose to do was I decided to investigate bioidentical hormone replacement therapy. I would not suggest hormone replacement therapy because, you know, there's all kinds of synthetic reasons why it's just not good for your body. There's links to cancer. I realize there are a lot of people listening right now who may be on it. But I'm going to offer a suggestion to them, and that is what I chose to do and have been doing now for about 10 years and love it, and that is bioidentical hormone replacement therapy. So I basically just went to my doctor and said, you know, how can you help me explore this realm of healthy hormone replacement? And she did. And through testing and, you know, all of that, we just got my levels worked out. And these are just bioidentical hormones that are created, they're compounded in a lab, and at a pharmacy, I'm saying, and you basically just, like, I order mine just from my regular pharmacy. And I'm telling you, it affects how you sleep. It affects your moods, all of that. It's just a minimal dose, but it's something that I really firmly believe in if you have a severe hormonal deficit. And I did, and I am very sympathetic to people who do.
Wow, very good. Before this break, I do want you to give some practical ideas on creating a space in your bedroom. On the other side, we'll talk mind and spirit. And again, Laura, you'll just have to come back because we literally, there's so much. But I really do feel like, you know, I'd like to, like, paint a picture of what does your bedroom look like and what are some other practical ways to create a sacred, peaceful space?
Sure. Well, honestly, I tell you, there's people will say to you, oh, like, you know, I don't have any money to do anything. I tell the story in the book about how I had no money and I had a baby coming and no more bedrooms upstairs with the other five. Mm-hmm. And my husband, I woke up one morning crying, what are we going to do? And he said, we're going to do what we do with all the others. You're going to put a little bassinet by the bed until she's old enough to leave you. You know, we'll be fine. And so I decided right then that I was just going to repaint the room. That's one easy thing that you can do. And I had all this wicker furniture. This was 20 years ago. House wick, brown wicker furniture in my room. Well, I painted it all white, and the room was totally pastel. And yes, we got her little bassinet with a little white eyelet on it. And before I knew it, it was like we were sleeping in the nursery. There weren't childish things around, but it was like this spa-like environment, really pretty. And so I don't know, it just the little things like that, you know, other things you can do is, you can, like I said, declutter your room. You can get rid of any furniture you don't need, hide your electronic cords, donate stuff that you're not using. And another thing is you can hang your curtains higher to increase the size of the room. A lot of people don't think of that, but I just turned our little room. I think I actually spent one amount of money, and that was, I went to Kmart and got like a bedspread, like a comforter, and it pulled the whole room together. It was really inexpensive. And to this day, my children fight over that comforter because it's now 20 years old and so soft. But yeah, you can do little things like that and make a real sanctuary out of your bedroom.
I mean, I'm seriously taking so many notes from your book, from my prep and from today. I mean, just honesty, we have one of those little electric fireplaces in our room, which living in Minnesota, you just got to have, but I have my jewelry spread out all over it. It's terrible. We've got cords. We got a dog bed. I mean, it's not singing to me. I'm just saying it's not singing to me. So it's time. Kev always says you do these shows and you come up and go, we got to change some things. And here we go again, but that's all right. We're going to pause, and when we come back, we're going to talk on the spirit and on the mind. And as we go to break, this dear listener says, when I'm trying to sleep and have worries in my mind, I imagine myself placing my worries in a basket or box, physically handing them over to Jesus. And some nights my worries seem not too stressful, and they're placed in a beautiful flower-lined basket. Yet other nights I imagine them in a heavy-duty shipping box, barely being able to be closed with rolling packaging tape wound around them. But the imagery helps me sleep, and Jesus always has been faithful to care for me and for those on my heart. So good. You know, there are practical ways to make this happen, and I know Laura's been passionate about this for some time, so I'm so grateful for this book. Give it to God and go to bed. Stress less, sleep better, dream more. More with Dr. Laura Harris-Smith in a minute.
I don't have to search hard to find you. I don't have to reach far to touch you. Standing in miracles wherever I go.
I just want you to imagine what a healthier, healed you might look like. And I think it's so easy to write off, you know, that person's a good sleeper. I'm a bad sleeper. We sort of accept it, but I'm contending for it. This is the greatest struggle of my life because of this wretched Lyme co-infection, but I'm a fighter and I am not giving up until it is my, it's my birthright as a believer in Christ because he grants sleep to those he loves. And I am super passionate about this topic as well. I'm so grateful to have my friend, Dr. Laura Harris-Smith on the show. Her new book, Give It to God and Go to Bed, Stress Less, Sleep Better, and Dream More. And just let me give you an example of the titles of these chapters. The distractions down the hall, we talked about those, stress, work, and worry. The treasures inside your bedroom, peace, sleep, just creating a sanctuary. The monsters in your closet, we're going to touch on that. The weapons under your pillow, the world outside your window, the voices in your head, the junk in your bed, the writing on the wall, the alarm clock beside your bed, and the morning after a good night's sleep. So you can see Laura has to come back a few more times because there's so much more to talk about. But yeah. say a word, if you would, about the monsters in your closet.
Oh, boy. Wish we had a whole hour for this. Yep. What I'm finding, as I told you, is that there are just even a month on the other side of the book coming out, people are really glomming on to this chapter. I have actually had people tell me, I've been a Christian for decades, and I've never heard anyone teach on familiar spirits. I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. So in the book, I outline what they are, and that is, there are, let me just put it to you this way, those things, that place where history is repeating itself in your life, those things where you see evidence that you're stuck. You cannot seem to get out of the rut that you're in. And as a result of that, you're just doing the same old things, patterns, behaviors, attitudes, reactions, emotions. And it's because these monitoring spirits, I mean, the enemy has a plan for your life. He has laid out a blueprint for your life, and you must take it back. He has no right to do that. But in order for you to do that, you have to expose what these spirits are. So I go over in scripture just how that works and, how we can actually, how can I say this? How we can best walk out our Christian life with Christ, knowing that we're victorious. He paid for everything, right? The devil should not be able to touch us at all. But the truth is that because we live in this fallen world and because the enemy is very good at what he does, his job description is to steal, kill, and destroy, we have to outsmart him. We have to outlast him. So I give people opportunity to go into their closet, proverbially, get a new wardrobe, clean it out, and start having different reactions, different responses, getting unstuck from the places, relationships, situations that you find yourself in repeatedly. I do believe that it's possible, but we do have to cooperate with God in it.
And so there, you're saying to look at places in your life where history repeats itself, and that mm-hmm. can also be said if you look back, maybe you have a predisposition toward, anxiety and speaking worry over your life, and then you go, I have a mom and a grandma and a great-grandma. I mean, oftentimes these things don't just spring up in your life. They can be traced back even further, can't they?
Oh, yes. They definitely do. Generational curses are not something that I learned about growing up. But, when I had to learn about them, I had to try to figure out why these things were plaguing me, and I was having a harder time shaking them. It may be, yes, you may be sad one day. That's very different than being clinically depressed and a family history of depression. And in that case, you have to ask God to allow you, say, here I am, Lord, send me. Let me be the repairer of this family breach. And you invite Jesus into that family story. And you ask him to change it. You say, the buck stops here. I mean, it is a process. It is the enemy, when he thinks he has a deed to something, he will come in, squatter's rights. He'll try to take the whole house. But we must cooperate with God and allow him to deliver us. It is very possible to hold up your own deliverance.
You talk about, so it's possible to hold up or to, obstruct your own deliverance, fear, rejection, anger, hate, bitterness, anxiety, worry, and so on, pride, passivity, lust, unforgiveness. The other thing that's interesting, and I guess this is another show, and I don't know hardly anything about it, but I'm so fascinated by the idea of epigenetics, where let's say you did not inherit anxiety. Let's say your mom and dad were people of faith and perspective, but you keep opening the door to fear, to anxiety, those things, and you keep rehearsing and rehashing, it actually changes your whole genetic makeup so that you are passing
sure
it
does.
Down. So, boy, it's amazing the power of the choice that God has given us and how often the enemy, if we don't know that, will sure use it against us.
Yeah, it's so true. And we have to be mindful of the fact that the end goal of a familiar spirit is to derail you entirely from, you know, the calling of God on your life. And it wants to do the same in the lives of your children and grandchildren. So, you know, we are very much in a battle. We can win it, but we need to be aware that we are in a battle. And we need to, you know, ask God to give us the fight. And sometimes that means something very practical, like I am going to choose forgiveness. Instead of laying there at night and stewing over something, I'm not going to rehearse how I'm going to prove this to that person. I'm sorry to repeat the title, but give it to God and go to bed is why I chose the title.
So good. You know, I want to read this. This is just you give such practical. I love how you write with your books, Laura, because you diagnose a problem and then you give practical helps to overcome. Mm-hmm. And you do so much to equip your readers. It's like you're not saying, okay, here's the problem. Now go find somebody who can help you with it. Good luck with that. Because that's overwhelming when you go, okay, I have this issue, and where do I find a doctor who can walk me through this? And there's so much we can do, and I'm so passionate about that. There's so much we can do to move even ourselves towards health. So I just want to read a little portion of this prayer in your book on page 74, and it's about those familiar spirits. I close every door I have open to the familiar spirit of, and you fill in the blank. Let's say it's rejection or fear. And I ask right now to receive grace to resist it, should it ever come knocking again. Familiar spirit, you are dismissed. Fire of God, consume my enemies. I bind and restrict any familiar spirit from my life, no matter if it was invited or uninvited. In Jesus' name, I declare from this day forth that I only hear the voice of the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. I mean, was there a kind of a tendency that or a familiar spirit in your life that you can give an example of that it once impacted you that way and now you live this way?
Yeah. I, believe it or not, really struggled with what other people thought of me. Isn't it interesting, full circle, this is what I told you at the beginning of the show, that I have had to just say to God, go defend yourself. You have to take care of this. If this person is upset with me because I am standing for truth and the gospel, then that's you, Lord. I need you to settle it in their minds and bring resolve here. And so I really, I had this exercise that I did. A friend bought me some little cheap mirrors. They have adhesive on the back. You just stick them on your wall, you know, get them at a dime store, and a magic marker. And she told me to write scriptures on it. You know, if God be with us, who can be against us? Those kinds of things. And I also wrote different prophecies that had been spoken over my life by people, and I wrote them in first person, like they were spoken over me. And I wrote them on the mirrors, and I would stand there every day, and I would read those over myself. You know, what can man do to me? And honest to goodness, like, I really was relying on the gift of self-control and peace and patience and all that. But I said to the Lord, I'm thankful that you can help me through these gifts of the Spirit, but when are you going to put a guard at the gate of my mind and me never have these thoughts again? And after only 3 weeks of looking into those mirrors and saying those things over myself, that was 14 years ago, and I have never struggled with it since. I'm telling you, the Word of God changed me. I was renewed. I was transformed. My mind was transformed because I just let the Word saturate it, and it changed what I thought about myself.
Wow. We just have a minute left about. So what do you want to say? There's so much more I could have, should have asked you about, Laura, but we just have to get you back. But is there anything you want to wrap with today?
Yeah, I just want to urge people to engage their body, mind, and their spirit. Don't go for the quick fix of, I'm just going to take this. You know, I even have my sleep oil, Quiet Brain, but I don't just tell people, oh, just take this and nothing else. Look, you've got to have your body engaged. You've got to have your mind really minister to your mind. And then also, I encourage people to go through the program after they finish the book, watch the videos. It's only a month on the other side of publication, and we're already having people tell us that they are sleeping better and dreaming more. And that is good news.
Such good news. Please come back, Laura. Thank you for your hard work on this book. We so appreciate it.
Thank you. Thank you, Susie.
Love you, my friend. Laura Harris-Smith. And again, her book is titled Give It to God and Go to Bed. Stress less, sleep better, dream more. Pray you found some encouragement here. We'll meet you back here next time. Thanks for listening to this conversation from Susie Larson Live. These podcasts are available because of listener support. You can become a supporter now at myfaithradio.com. And thanks for sharing this audio link to spread the good news of the gospel and to grow the impact of the show. Also, if you would, take a moment to subscribe to the podcast today at Apple Podcasts or your favorite podcast player and never miss a show.